In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we read the following. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This verse provides great comfort to those who are part of what the Bible identifies as the called. There is no doubt that the Christian will inevitably find himself or herself in challenging situations. Jesus said that in this world his followers would experience tribulation, but he also encouraged his followers to be of good cheer because he had overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. The key here is in the statement concerning the called according to his purpose. God is calling people through the gospel directives to repent, be baptized in water, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is called the promise of God. We read in Acts 2, verses 38 to 40. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Those who are the called are to love, that is, serve God's purpose, his calling. As called out Christians, we must realize that above all things, it is the purpose of God that is priority. And this is a purpose that simply cannot fail. Something that's very important to remember, especially through times of difficulties. They will always work out to the ultimate advantage of the overcoming Christian. But clearly, we must remain faithful to that calling regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. The English word translated as called in this verse is from the Greek word kletos, which means divinely appointed or invited. So God invites us, but we have the personal responsibility to make that invitation, calling, and election sure. 2 Peter 1 Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Because we find ourselves in a trial or challenging situation does not automatically mean that God is deliberately punishing us or that he has abandoned us. Consider, for instance, the story of Joseph. Genesis 37, verses 3 to 4, records the story of Joseph receiving the coat of many colors, which was a symbol of the birthright. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. We read further on that God's blessing made him a target of envy and hatred amongst his brothers. They eventually conspired to get rid of Joseph, their own brother, selling him to a group of traveling Ishmaelites, who then later sold him into slavery in Egypt. Genesis 37 verses 18 to 20. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Verses 26 to 28. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Verse 36, And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So we see from receiving the mighty blessings of God, he seemed to be immediately plunged into tribulation. It seemed that God's purpose was going to be halted. Yet we read further that even though he was sold into slavery, God prospered Joseph and blessed whatever he touched. Although sold into slavery, things were looking up for Joseph. He was well favored and came into a position of great importance in his master's household. We read in Genesis 39 verses 2 to 6, And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. But all of this was about to change. Next, having spent a certain time in a position of such importance in his master's household, his master's wife tried to seduce Joseph. We read in Genesis 39 and verse 7, And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. Then when her attempts were refused and ultimately failed, she fabricated a set of false accusations against Joseph. We read in verses 19 to 20 of the same chapter. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So again, having enjoyed great blessings from God, Joseph now found himself in prison and seemingly with no way out. He could have abandoned all hope and settled for a death rotting in an Egyptian jail. But again, God was mightily with him and turned things around. We read in Genesis 39 verses 21 to 23, But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. During Joseph's time in prison, God used him in the interpretation of dreams. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's chief butler and chief baker, who had fallen out of favor. As revealed to Joseph, the chief butler would be restored and the chief baker was hanged. And Joseph asked the butler to remember him when he was restored to office, but the butler quickly forgot. Now here was a young man whom God had promised the birthright blessings. According to God's promise, he was to become bountiful. In fact, the name Joseph means the Lord will add or increase. Yet he seems to suffer one calamity after another. It seems that his life is one series of constant trial and tribulation. And now, to add further, he finds himself in prison with no realistic prospect of release. In this situation, it would seem easy to simply give up and admit defeat. But not so with God's people. The promises of God always prevail. Genesis chapter 41 continues the story with Joseph languishing in prison for a further 2 years, at the end of which Pharaoh had two dreams that greatly disturbed him. In the first dream, Pharaoh saw 7 fat cattle and 7 thin. The seven thin cattle consumed the fat. In the second dream Pharaoh saw seven full ears of corn, then seven thin ears blasted by an east wind. The seven thin ears devoured the seven fat. It was at this point, when none of Pharaoh's advisers could interpret the dreams, that the butler remembered how that Joseph had correctly interpreted his dream, and that he had been restored to favour. Joseph was therefore brought before Pharaoh and declared the dreams as revealed to him by the Lord. God was revealing to Pharaoh through Joseph that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, and Joseph advised Pharaoh to gather in reserves of grain through the good years to enable enough during the period of famine. Pharaoh released Joseph and appointed him to oversee the gathering and storage of grain. Thus God not only restored Joseph to liberty, but elevated him from the status of a slave and condemned prisoner to the second most powerful man in Egypt, the world's great superpower at the time. We read in Genesis 41 verses 38 to 46. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Pinnah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. There are many wonderful accounts in the Bible of God's chosen people, that is, his called out ones, gaining remarkable victories in the face of seemingly impossible opposition. The story of Joseph should provide wonderful inspiration for us as Christians to realize that no matter what this world throws at us, ultimate victory is absolutely assured in Jesus Christ. Things can sometimes seem insurmountable, impossible to overcome, but our God deals with conquering the impossible. Jesus proclaimed that all things are possible with God. He also mentioned that all things are possible to him that believeth, and nothing shall be impossible to you. If we truly believe this, we will see God prevail, and we will prevail with him. Towards the end of verse 5 in Hebrews 13, we read, And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6 provide us with a summation of how God will always work out his plan and purpose through his chosen people. His calling cannot be stopped. His will be done on this earth, as it is done in heaven. Man may make all attempts to thwart the working of God's will, but in the last analysis, in the final end, the word of God will prevail. The words of Jesus Christ recorded in Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And if we, as God's called people, continue in his calling, we also will prevail with him. The Bible highlights the need for patient continuance in those who will ultimately receive the promises. every man and woman of God has to exercise the same diligence and trust as those who have gone before and are recorded in the pages of the Bible for our encouragement. Take Abraham as a prime example, as we read in Hebrews 6 verses 13 to 15. For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This refers to the promise of an heir, who would be called Isaac, whose name means laughter, as God would turn all disappointments and trials into complete joy at the fulfillment of the promise. In the case of Abraham, he waited patiently for 25 years for the fulfillment, never losing faith in what God said he would do, despite many trials. Every Christian who walks in the Spirit will also be tried and tested by adversity in this world. The Apostle Paul noted, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Philippians 4, verse 11. Finally, we read in Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.